Turning now to our scripture for this morning, I will be reading to you from the Epistle of John. That's the smaller work of John. John chapter, 1 John 3. So please open your Bibles to that book. 1 John 3, and I will be reading the first 10 verses of chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. And he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Let me repeat that. That's the verse we will be focusing on. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. May God bless the reading of his holy word to our spiritual understanding and strength today. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to begin with a very simple question. Why did Jesus come? And I'm asking this question as part of our celebration of the birth of Christ. You know, a great deal of the world, of course, is involved in this celebration, even nations that are non-Christian. For example, the nation of Japan. A great secular festival has developed around the Christmas holiday, and it sweeps billions of people up into its excitement. The Bible tells us that the child who was born to the Virgin Mary was supernaturally conceived and was in fact the second person of the Holy Trinity. That's who he is. God the Son incarnate, in other words, the baby Jesus, was God in the flesh. God in the person of his one and only Son, only begotten Son, who had taken on human nature, took upon himself human nature. Why did Jesus do it? Again, the question, why did he come? Before we answer that question, let's underscore the fact that the person who began his life as a baby in Bethlehem, again, is the only begotten Son of God. The angel who announced Jesus' birth to the Virgin Mary, spoke of that very fact. I want you to listen again to the announcement that's recorded in the first chapter of Luke. Luke 1, beginning at verse 30. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child, and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom, there will be no end." How will this be? Mary asked the angel, "Since I am a virgin, I've not known a man." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So that Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Never mind that humanity has almost managed to cover up that fact, the fact of Jesus' divinity and purpose today, with innumerable tales and decorations and festivities that have nothing to do with the birth of the Son of God. That's sad. Christmas began with a worshipful response to awestruck people who came to adore the Christ child when he was born. And their adoration was totally appropriate, because the child of Bethlehem is God. Not only was Jesus' divinity established by a heavenly message at the time of his birth, but it was also confirmed by his successful completion of the mission that he was given, that he came for, of a humanly impossible mission. In Romans 1, 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul points to Jesus' resurrection as proof that he is indeed the Son of God. Listen to these words. "The Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead." Clearly, Jesus was the Son of God. The Apostle John, also, you'll recall, in familiar words, proclaimed that Jesus was the Son of God. And I read to you from John chapter 1, verse 14. Again, words that we're familiar with. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then later in the Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 45, we read these words. John chapter 12, verse 45. "And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." You know, we could go on, but everything in the Bible about Jesus indicated that he is indeed God. He is God and was even among us. He is God taking our flesh upon himself and going to the cross to die, to pay for human sin. I trust your and my sins. Jesus is God, become man. God became human. God became like us in all things except for sin. Now back to that question with which we began. Why did he do this? Why did he come? Now we could think of many reasons why he shouldn't have done it. Why would the possessor of infinite wealth and power become a penniless, homeless cast-off? One answer that has been given, which leads us in the wrong direction, is that God became man so that man might become God. Now that answer has led some people to conclude that there is no essential difference now between God and man. Once God became a human being in Jesus Christ, the way was open for all of us to become divine beings. Now, the problem with that answer, there's quite a few people that believe that. The problem with that answer is that it's based on human imagination, not on God's revelation of himself in his word, in the Bible. God is our creator, and we will forever remain his creatures. This means that there is an unmistakable difference between God and humankind. And the Bible does not allow us to erase that difference for a moment, for a second. The Bible mentions nothing whatsoever about God becoming man so that man might become God. No, the answer to our question must lie in a different direction. Why did he come? The answer, I trust that some of you are already getting there. The answer is found in our scripture and in what might be our text. 1 John 3, verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the work of the devil. That's what it clearly says. Little before that statement in verse 8 is another statement that is similar. We read, he appeared so that he might take away our sin. And in his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, Jesus took our sins upon him and once for all destroyed the stranglehold of the devil. The stranglehold that he had upon humankind. Listen to these words from Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Since therefore the children share in the fleshly and blood, and of course it's referring to Christ, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. If we now believe in Christ as the Lord and Savior, he will wash away our sins and save us from eternal death and the power of the devil. That's what we just read, in addition to the words of our text. Now, think about that. Think about this connection with your own life. Look at what the devil has done to you. Look at all the trouble he has caused you. But here, a word of caution. Be careful. You can't not blame the devil for everything, because we are responsible too for what goes wrong in our lives. But when things go wrong, we can be sure that the devil is applauding. He has a high stake in the destruction of our personalities, our marriages, our families, our societies. It's to his advantage when circumstances become nasty and evil. Become a little more personal. What would you label as part of the devil's work in your life? Your temper? Your particular addiction to a drug? Alcohol? Food? Your cancer? Your heart trouble, your kidney failure, your failure at work. What about your divorce? If that's the case, is that the devil's work? What about your simple, undifferentiated lust? What about your and my dishonesty? Now, you would be correct to say, many of these things I brought on myself. Even so, beloved, these things are also the devil's work. The devil's work. Because they are events and activities that further his agenda. They make his grip on our lives more firm and strong. The devil is right in the middle of human experience. You've got to remember that. Apostle Peter says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. The book of Revelation declares, pay attention to these words, Revelation 12:12. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, and he is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. The devil, you see, beloved, is very active in all of our lives, and he likes nothing better than to have people stumble morally and fall into that quicksand of evil. So the devil's work, it's everywhere. And it has also affected the Christmas season, clearly, by introducing customs and ways of celebration that contradict the Christian way of life. For some people, this season, the Christmas season, is a time of debauchery, self-indulgence. It includes the New Year. It's the very opposite of unselfishness and love that Christ came to make possible. But again, to understand more fully what the Bible means when it talks about the devil's work, we really have to go to the Bible's opening chapter, where we learn how the devil raised hell in God's good creation. Now, again, I don't approve of any careless use of that expression, raised hell, but in this instant, it describes exactly what he did and what happened. The Bible tells us that God created the earth and the heavens and the entire universe, and that it was all what? Very good. Yeah. The devil, however, hated all that good, and the God who made it as well. And he brought hell into this good creation. All the devilish plans that he hatched in his devilish abode were realized when he tempted our first parents, Adam and Eve, and they fell. And the world now, what? Well, the world is now under a curse. A curse brought on by the devil and by our willingness to be led astray by his temptation. The fall of humankind into sin, recorded in Genesis chapter 3, is the first great turning point in the history of the world. Before the fall into sin, the devil's work had been firmly excluded from God's flawless world. Afterward, human life and all nature reeled because of the curse. And the Bible describes the situation in figurative terms. Romans 8:22, words I think that are familiar to us. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as it travails in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. So none of us is untouched by the powerful forces of evil. Those forces that swirl throughout the world. All you got to do is listen to one newscast, evening newscast. And these forces of evil warp and twist the lives of people. And anyone who is sick right now, especially with a life-threatening illness, for example, is experiencing, again, the effects of the devil's work. The devil's work is lethal. It will ultimately kill us. And in addition, there is something within each of us that attracts us to sin. We feel the power of temptation, greed, lust, hypocrisy, impatience, filthy language, laziness, dishonesty. None of these is entirely foreign to any of us. And so we too, beloved, are caught up in the horrible web of the devil's work. And we are not just victims. We often become allies with the devil. And he uses us to carry on his horrid plans. War, civil unrest, murder, persecution, child abuse, abortion. Our dreary daily cruelties. All of these things flow from the curse that the devil has brought upon us in this world. Sin is so pervasive and comprehensive in the world, and it is the cause. It is the cause of social and personal calamities. Even though the majority of people refuse to believe it. The truth is, though, that the devil is the cause of the evil that afflicts us. The devil, Satan, is a specific being, and he's the head of the whole realm of evil. And he has lots of other devils, evil angels, fallen angels, who work for him without let up. You've got to be aware of that. But you see, the Son of God came to destroy the evil work that the devil introduced into this world, our world. Jesus came to change that. The Bible tells us that someday all of God's creation will be renewed and restored. 2 Peter 3, verse 13, we read, "In keeping with this promise, we look forward to a new heavens and a new earth where only righteousness shall dwell." Beautiful words. The evil age in which we live will be replaced by a renewed creation. Jesus has come to accomplish that. Hallelujah! I hope that thrills you, beloved. And here's news that's even better. Jesus delights in accomplishing his mission, not only because he plans to establish a new creation someday, but also because he is changing his people today so that they become better people. Godly people. The Christ child came to make us the children of God. And that's the central point of our scripture. First John 3, verses 7 through 10, we find the background of the statement that tells us Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. I'm going to read it again. Verses 7 through 10 of 1 John 3. "How great is the love of the Father that he has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. And this is how we know the children of God, who the children of God are and who are the children of the devil. Anyone who does not do what is right is not the child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brothers." Beloved, what all this means for us is that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be released from the devil's domination and become empowered to live as children of God. So we have every reason, beloved, every reason to rejoice as we think about, contemplate the birth of Christ and why he was born. Because he has come to take away the devil's power. But that reality is not only something that will be realized in the new heavens and the new earth. It's also something that takes place here, now, that can be realized in your life and mine if we believe in Jesus Christ. The Apostle John wrote to Christians who were seriously confused about the Christian faith. They were being told by some people that believers in Jesus did not necessarily have to abandon all the sinful practices that were so prevalent in their day. They were told that there was a vast separation between their spiritual life and their physical lives as part of nature. Some of them even thought that the true God really had nothing to do with the world and with the way people acted. What was important was their spiritual enlightenment. Beyond that, they could do as they pleased. If they wanted to entertain themselves with occasional immorality that really did not have any bearing on their relationship with God, It's a different realm. If they wanted to be selfish and spiteful, that too was okay. Beloved, that error, that thinking was widespread and powerful. But John wrote, no, no, you have it all wrong. Christ came to destroy all that. If you believe in Jesus, your relationship to Christ has freed you from that thinking and from sin. Now, let me hasten to add, we know this does not mean believers in Christ become perfect in this life. But earlier in his letter, John states flatly that those who say they are without sin are liars, are totally mistaken. Verse 8, chapter 1. But it does mean that those who believe in Jesus are no longer under Satan's domination or sin's dominion. For they receive power from God to resist the devil. Resist the devil, he will flee from you, we read. They have power that enables them to turn away from sinful life so that they become loving, unselfish, pure, holy people that want nothing more than to serve God rather than to play the devil's destructive games. Beloved, that's why he was born. Son of God came to deliver us. He's come to make us new creatures who are the children of God. And we receive the full effect of what Christ has done when we believe that he is the Savior and that we surrender to him. And those who do that cannot continue to sin. They hate it, and they're lifted above it. They are strengthened to oppose it. So let's rejoice. Let's celebrate. Let's thank God that he has sent his one and only begotten Son, not only to be born, but also to die and to gain salvation for us. Through his life, death, and resurrection and ascension, Jesus has been given the right to send his Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives. And we become new creatures through his power. And we become the adopted children of God. That's why he came. His entrance, then, into our world. And his assumption of our human nature, which deserves nothing but eternal death because of sin, was a supreme act of selflessness. We turn away from sin and become loving people because God has revealed his love in this world, coming here to destroy the devil's work through his own death and his suffering of hell. So, beloved, if you are dying, and we all are, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give you victory over death. He came to destroy the devil's work. And death is the devil's masterpiece. Those who confess their sins and trust in Christ for their salvation will be saved from death. So, believe in the Son of God, and he will give you the power to break free from the grip of evil. Don't celebrate for the wrong reasons. rejoice because Christ came to deliver us from sin's power. He came to destroy the devil's work. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Enjoy the full wonder of being a child of God. He'll help you. He'll help you become a different person. For he has come indeed to destroy the devil's work. And thank God we may rejoice and enjoy the fruits of his success. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for coming to destroy the devil's grip on our lives. Holy Spirit, come into our hearts so that we will live as the children of God, so that we will fight against every evil that tempts us. And we will live, O God, in a pure and holy way, giving thanksgiving to you each and every day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.